Father, thank you. It's so good to be in your presence. It's so good to be with your people. Just think of that scripture that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Jesus, we're glad to be with you today. We're glad to be with your people. You're an amazing God. And would you open up your word to us in an amazing way today? Do what only you can do. You can open our hearts. You can open our ears. So we can receive what you want to speak to us by your Spirit, through your word. Be honored today, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 25 today. And as we said earlier, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds were very afraid, the angels said to the shepherds, fear not. And we're going to continue that theme coming right into the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That's what will show up on the screen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It's interesting that surrounding the birth of Christ, we keep having to hear the message coming from God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And there's never been a time in my lifetime, maybe when the Cold War was a little hotter in the 80s, and people were afraid of nuclear war between the Soviet Union and the United States, there was a bit of fearfulness, but never since then in my lifetime has there been a greater sense of fear in our culture. People being very afraid, and in many ways, rightfully apprehensive. The world is a dangerous place. But the message of the gospel hasn't changed. Don't be afraid, because God is coming. And God is here, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now, here's some fears. Fear of religious oppression. These are real fears all around us today. Fear of religious oppression, governmental oppression. Fear of rising sea levels. You can laugh or you can tremble. Take your pick. Fear of toxins in our food and in our water supply. And in China this week, a company actually sold out of fresh bottled air. Company sold out. They couldn't bottle enough fresh air because people are so fearful. The air quality around them is actually really bad. I can't imagine having to go do that. But Fear of disease, fear of untimely death, fear of refugees, fear of Republicans, fear of Democrats, fear of socialists, fear of fascists, fear of racial tensions, religious tensions, terrorism, wars. It dominates the headlines. Yeah? It does. Fear sells. Sex sells, and so does fear. It markets well. So, I thought we'd look at a few funny fears before we dive into what I really feel God wants to get at today. Now, you can have fear of failure. A lot of people struggle with that. God, I want to be a success. What do you want me to do with my life? You can be afraid of failure. You can be afraid of insignificance. But these silly things are going to start showing up. And I'm probably going to badly pronounce these. Anatidiophobia. Fear of being watched or stalked by a duck. This is odd. And that's why you call it a phobia, right? Okay. Arachibutyrophobia. Fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Terror. This is terror. Novercophobia, fear of stepmothers. Venustrophobia, fear of beautiful women. And last but not least, claustrophobia, the fear of Santa Claus. Many Christians seem to suffer tremendously from this phobia. But there you have it. Goof, we can be afraid of even silly things. Now, if that's your phobia, that's not silly to you. None of those are my phobias, so I can laugh. I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. But into the middle of this comes really not just a platitude, not just a suggestion from God, but a declaration and a command from God saying, do not fear. Do not fear. And it comes to, in this story, it comes to a man named Joseph who is engaged to be married. And this isn't quite like our engagements where you, oh, we're engaged, this is my fiance, and Vanessa just decides she's going to change it up. And like, oh, we're not engaged anymore. Hopefully that's not going to happen. We would all be heartbroken if that happened. Betrothal was a much more serious thing. When you are engaged in this culture, when you were betrothed, you were promised. This was kind of a family arrangement. And it was almost as if you were already married. That's why it says Joseph, being a just man, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't want to embarrass her. He didn't want to shame her. He could have publicly humiliated her, potentially even. This is risking death. When Mary said yes, the angel appears and says, you're going to conceive a child that's going to be from God. And she says, be it unto me according to your will. She was risking death. Because for a woman to be found to be pregnant, unless you could prove that she was raped, she was probably going to be executed. This is intense stuff. Joseph didn't want to publicly humiliate her or publicly see her disciplined, so he's going to put her away and divorce her. Even though they were not really married yet, he's going to divorce her quietly. And an angel comes to him in a dream and says, don't be afraid to take this woman as your wife. This is real stuff. This is real life. Joseph's got to be thinking, this woman I'm engaged to marry is pregnant, and I know that I'm not the dad. Pretty serious. And when the angel says, don't be afraid to marry her, do not fear, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, he's addressing real fears in Joseph's heart, in his in his mind. Can I trust this woman? Could I ever trust her again? It's real practical stuff. It's not an irrational phobia like ducks and stepmothers. It's not that kind of phobia. This is, I'm preparing to marry this woman. I'm preparing to join my life to her. Can I do this? Can I trust this? Some of you have heard the story of my own life right before Beck and I got married. And we were talking to some friends at our Christmas party Friday night, and there's a picture that was snapped of me right before my dad and I walked out. My dad did our wedding. And right before I walked down the aisle, my father took me aside and he said, "John, when you come back down this aisle, it's for life. This is your last chance. Are you absolutely sure that this is the woman for you? Because in a few minutes, it's not going to matter if you're sure or not anymore. It's a done deal." He just asked me that question, and then somebody took my picture. And the look on my face is sheer terror. Because I'm processing, like, what? And then we're walking, and you see this. It's like he just asked me this, and I said yes, and we start to walk. And so I'm kind of like this, and I'm going, but my face is not sure what I'm doing. So, Joseph is facing a little more serious than this. Because I knew I wanted to marry this woman. I knew I did. Joseph is dealing with the real, like, can I trust this woman? Am I embracing a life of deceit? Am I embracing a life of unfaithfulness? Because if this isn't right, she could do this again. It's a real deal. So when the angel comes, he doesn't just say to Joseph, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You guys know this. This is actually the most common commandment in all of the Bible. It's interesting. It happens 365 times in the Bible. Once for every day of the year. Convenient. Do not fear. But he comes not just saying, "Don't fear." It's not like, I think it's going to show up on the screen here. It's not like this yoga-like thing of "do not fear," or the way Yoda would say it. "Fear not, you must. Fear not." It's not just this mantra, "Don't be afraid, don't fear." He gives him a reason. It's why the world celebrates Christmas. He gives him a reason. He says, "This is to fulfill what is spoken by the prophet. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then Matthew takes us behind the story. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. It would be Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Why is it that we can walk into a world full of fear and fearful circumstance? If you're terrified of socialists or you're terrified of fascists, they're in the world and they're real. If you're terrified of Republicans or Democrats, they're in the world too and they're real. But God is still speaking to us saying, "Do not fear." Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And we're just going to look at this for a little bit today. We're basically going to look at it in three ways. God with us, God with us, and God with us. So God, we have to realize, who is this Jesus? Who is this baby that's to be born? This baby in a manger. Are we worshiping a peasant baby in a manger? If so, maybe we should go and see a psychologist. It's not a baby in a manger that we're worshiping. Although he came as a baby in a manger. He's born to blue-collar Israelites visiting a little Israelite town. But if we look back to the prophet Isaiah, when he said, the virgin's going to conceive and bear a son, you call his name Emmanuel, that's from Isaiah 7. Then as you continue forward into Isaiah 9, the promise begins to expand on who is this baby? Who is this Emmanuel? Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now we're getting a little bigger picture of who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus to be born? Do you think of him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God? Didn't say he's going to be called like God. He's going to be a really good representation of God, although he is. He is God. This is the story of God himself entering human history, entering into the course of human events, coming as one of us. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is called the Word, not just that he is with God, but that he is God. So this promise of Emmanuel coming is not just there's a Savior coming. Saying, no, God is coming to be with us. When we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, we are celebrating God entering human events, entering human history, coming to do himself what we could never do on our own, what we could have never accomplished since the fall of Adam and Eve, when mankind fell. Ever since we were born, unable to fulfill the call of God in our life, unable to achieve any sense of perfection, any sense of being good enough to be with God. And so God himself came to do what man could not. Jesus is God invading human history. Now, thinking of God coming, just think of this, okay? So God's coming to your house for lunch today. God's coming. You ever see the sign? God's coming, or Jesus is coming back. Look busy. It can be scary just thinking God is coming. But the promise of Emmanuel isn't just God is coming. It says God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And even the sense of the Greek word that's used here, with, isn't just he's coming and he's going to be near you, coming to your house. The sense is God with you, not just in company with you, but sharing with, together with, the promise of Emmanuel. One piece of the really good news, why this is good news of great joy, is that this God wants to be with you. He wants relationship with you, to where when you hear God is coming to your house, you're not thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to tidy up. I've got to, like, things are out of place. Hide the wine. Right. Or whatever else you think you've got to hide. God wants to come and hang out with you. And when he comes to visit, and he comes to your house, it's meeting you with an embrace. It's meeting you with, hey, it's good to be with you. This is when it says God with us. It's a nearness. It's a closeness. In the Old Testament, the Israelite leader Joshua had a promise. Moses had led the people. Imagine having to succeed Moses. You've got to follow the leadership of a man like Moses. And God says to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Sound familiar? Don't be afraid. Fear not. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you'd be thinking, how do I follow Moses? Or you might be thinking, how do I walk into this school where I teach? Or how do I walk into this place where I work and carry the gospel forward with me? How do I do this? Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Leaping forward through the centuries into the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5. This is actually concerning money fears and concerning, he's just been talking about marriage. And says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, quoting back from Joshua. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's a response that comes. The angel speaks to the shepherds. The angel speaks to Joseph in his sleep and says, do not fear. And as we look forward to the fulfillment of what Jesus did, we now hear the church responding, saying, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. This command doesn't just come to you, something you have to go make happen. This command comes to you in the context of God with you. And so because God is with you, you can not fear. You can move forward in faith rather than fear. This goes all the way to the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28. Commissioning his church to go into the world, go to the nations with the gospel. And he reminds us of the promise. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So just to clarify, if you're going to go home and try to tidy your house up because Jesus is coming, he's already there. He's already with you. Guys, right now, if you have put your faith in Jesus, God is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just yesterday, not just in the pages of Scripture. He's with you now. That means right now, whatever you're facing, whatever life decisions you're facing, He's with you. He hasn't left you to sort it out by yourself and then come back and find out, and he pats you on the shoulder and says, oh, good job, you figured it out. Now, he's with you in the process. This is great news. This is so good. I'm preaching to myself because God is with me. He's with me. That is so encouraging. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything that God has commissioned me to do on my own any more than Joshua did. In fact, it's even better now because of Jesus, God isn't just with me. Careful how I do that. He's in me. He is with me always. Micah Jones doesn't have to go take tests at school on his own, hoping that maybe God will go with him. God goes with him everywhere he goes. God is in him everywhere he goes. Every decision, every challenge, every conversation, God is with him. God is with you. He's with me. And that segues nicely into the third point. God with us. This promise isn't for someone else. The promise isn't for the really good Christian or that really impressive Christian leader. He's not just a God to someone else. It's not just for your parents' generation or your grandparents' generation. We hear a lot about the greatest generation that fought World War II, that made so many sacrifices to stop evil in the world. God is with you every bit as much as he was with the greatest generation. Quote, the greatest generation. You were born for such a time as this. On purpose, by design, our sovereign God has not made any mistakes. He knew when you would be born, where you would be born, how long you would live. He knows the hairs on your head. You are by design, on purpose. God is with you. He's been with you since before you were born, when you were a twinkle in your father's eye. He already had a plan. Perfect plan. John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not just servants, children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here, he has given you through Christ the right. That means no one can take it away from you. The right to come to him as his children. He's God. He's God with you. He's God with you. He loves you. How amazing would it be to have a church walking out from Christmas services this week, whether it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, today, God's people walking out all over the world convinced that God loves them. There's nothing more powerful than knowing your Heavenly Father loves you. He is for you. He is proud of you. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is the world a fearful place? Sure it is. Always has been. Because sin has been in the world for a long time. And wherever sin is, there's fear. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And God is with you. Guys, God is with you. This is what we celebrate. We're celebrating the birth of Christ this week. We're celebrating God coming to save his people from their sins. We celebrate it because what we're talking about is true. He is God with you. Our culture can take that and say, okay, it's just this individualistic thing. I just heard it, people talking about it on the news this week about how we need to make sure we keep our religion quiet. We don't really talk about it. You know, it's not good for polite conversation. But it's not just a personal thing. It is God with us. And especially in an individualistic culture, let's not be afraid to declare, no, it isn't just between you and God. This is us and God. It's both. We have a call. It's a beautiful call to live free from fear. It doesn't mean we don't honor God, we don't reverence God, we do. But we don't have to add God to the list that we had of fear of ducks and stepmothers and butter, or peanut butter on the roof of your mouth, beautiful women. We don't have to add God on that list. Godophobia, terrified. God's going to show up. We're called to live free from that kind of a fear because we're children. We get to draw near to the throne of grace. And this call to live free from fear, it's really, truly, and only possible in Jesus. He's our Emmanuel. This is only possible in Jesus. But don't hear, oh, only possible, as if this is such a difficult thing. It really and truly is possible. You don't have to live bound by fear. You don't have to make small, timid decisions in life because you're so afraid to step out and go for it in faith. God is with you. Act like it. I don't mean just put on a face and pretend. God is with you, so act accordingly. Charles Spurgeon said this. We're going to wrap it up here. He had preached a message back in the 19th century called God with Us. He said, he who was born at Bethlehem is God and God with us. God, there lies the majesty. God with us, there lies the mercy. God, there is glory. God with us, there is grace. God alone might well strike us with terror, but God with us inspires us with hope and confidence. He's with us. This is what we celebrate. And I pray for us as a church and for God's people everywhere that we celebrate well this week. We celebrate well. Let's shout it from the rooftops. Not just with our words, but with our actions. Let's celebrate the birth of the Savior. Let's enjoy the true gift. Give your gifts. Lavish them on each other. It's great. Go for it. But let's also enjoy the true gift. Let's pray. Father, we do want to celebrate. You're with us. You're with us. You promised. Jesus, you promised. I am with you always. I will never leave you. It's so good to know. You're with us.